Right, this morning, I'd like to talk to you about the choices you and I make in life. I've decided that either life happens in order or on purpose, or it happens by happenstance. And the decisions we make today builds or allows the future to take place at some level. You have choices, and choices determine your results and outcomes. I've found that I must choose to give things attention or they get out of control. Whatever I don't pay attention to starts to take me in a wrong direction. I'm not a gardener. I don't like gardening at all. The only thing I like about grass is playing golf. But I do hate weeds. I cannot walk past a weed without pulling it up and putting it in the bin. And I know if I don't keep control over weeds, they get out of control. And if I don't pay attention to things in life, that becomes like weeds. They get out of control. So we've got to choose. The Bible uses the word stewardship. It's a really boring word. But it's the concept of dealing with things or managing or paying attention to or giving into that thing where you're looking at it. And if we don't put attention to the right things, we're either we're allowing chaos or mess to take place continually around our worlds. If you don't manage it, you're not going to see great results. And you've got a choice. You either manage blessing or you manage crisis. It's a choice you make. In other words, if you pay attention to something, order and blessing and prosperity come to it. If you don't pay attention to it, if you don't manage your marriage, you're going to probably end up managing or trying to manage a marriage crisis. If you don't manage your health, then at some stage, you're probably going to end up trying to manage a health crisis. If you don't manage your family, give them due attention, like George said this morning, pay attention, give them time. And then if you don't decide to manage that, then there's a good chance at some stage, you're going to try and manage a family crisis. And nothing truer happens in our lives than in the realms of prosperity or finances. And it is no doubt that we are called by God to prosper. And the way we prosper is to pay attention or to manage or to have stewardship over the blessings that God has given us. There is a sense of that, well, God will bless me, and He does, but if we want to keep the blessing and multiply the blessing, we've got to play our part in it, and that's to manage the blessing or take care of the blessing. Life is supposed to be done on purpose. It's not que sera, whatever will be. It's not kuna matata. It's all just going to work out somehow. The Bible clearly states that we're to be good stewards, not just of our finances, but of all the things that God gives to us. But in the realm of finances, it's particularly important. So let's have a look at the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 11. And it starts off where Jesus is telling us some things about who we serve and what we shouldn't serve. It says this in verse 11. It says, "Therefore, if you have not been faithful with unrighteous mammon," or that's money, "who will commit to your trust the true riches?" That's a very pout right there. I mean, if you can't look after your money, then how do you expect God to give you the big things? Don't mistake that your ability to handle or manage money is linked to your spiritual journey. It's not, well, there's money and there's my spiritual life. No, the Bible says here that if you can't manage or steward over finances, that's unlikely God's going to give you something bigger. Did you realize that your bank statement is just not an economic statement? It's a moral statement as well. In other words, it determines or tells us what you see as valuable, what you put your money to and towards. So it's important that we see the two are connected here. And then it goes on. It says, "And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God or mammon or money." I want to tell you this morning, I think it's very clear here that God implies that we should serve Him, not money. I think that's fairly clear. And it's important we see this because you can't serve two masters. And be assured of this, money makes a great servant, but it's a terrible master. If you are controlled by want, controlled by things, by that, it is a terribly sadistic master, but a great servant. So God's plan is we serve Him, and then mammon or money serves us. So that's the plan of God. And if you're not faithful with the small things, if you can't manage it, how can God give us more? But when you're faithful, when you pay attention to things, when you give them their due, when you look after things, when you monitor things, when you're about those things, you can see fruitfulness and blessing come. We can manage what we have, and if we do, it opens up pathways of greater blessing and prosperity. Listen, it's never about, listen, as a pastor for so many years now, it's never about what you haven't got that makes the difference in your life. It's always about what you do with what you do have that makes the difference in your life. Every one of us has enough seed to take us into our future if we use it rightfully. No one is without nothing. Even if it's a grain of faith, it's enough that we have this day if we use it wisely to take us into our future. And so how we handle or manage the things God's given us are significant. You know, you watch the casket and the lotto and a guy came up to me and said, Pastor Mark, is gambling a sin? And I said, no, it's just stupid. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, look at a casino, look how big it is and how much staff and employees, look what you live in. Who's gonna win? In other words, it's being sensible. Like, people that win the lotto, and statistics tell me that most people that win millions of dollars within 5 years have lost all of that money, as some of them are worse off than they had won the money. I mean, for years I've watched those balls, right? I've been trying to get a word of knowledge for 20 years on those balls to line up right. But in other words, it's not about just receiving the blessing, it's being able to manage and continue in the blessing. So God can turn up and do a great thing in your life, but if you've not got things in place to manage the blessing, the blessing's going to run out. So this morning, I want to speak to you about what I call the components of good management, good stewardship. So when God blesses you, and if he has, then he's going to, that we contain the blessing and use the blessing his way. The first part I want to speak to you about is the use of wisdom, all right? The use of wisdom. Let's read what it says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, verses 3 through 5. It says this, and I've got a paper Bible here today. Isn't it fun flicking pages? It's such a novelty these days. And Proverbs 24, verse 3, 24, flicking pages. Flicking pages. I love that, flicking pages. 24, no, I've missed the page. 24, verse 3. It says this: through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you wage your own war, a multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom. Listen, wisdom is the rightful use of knowledge. Knowledge is not your answer. Knowledge is part of the answer. Wisdom is how you use knowledge, and that's what's significant. And if I've got anything to say about wisdom, it's this. Wisdom screams at you and I. It says this: please consider the results before you make the decision. That's what wisdom always screams. Just check things out, man. Don't just do that thing. Make sure you understand what's going on. Consider its many angles, its possibilities. Consider the concept. In celebrity world, one of the things that celebrities tend to do, really, which is strange to me because they're not very good at keeping their relationships together in Hollywood and that, but what they do is they tattoo their partner's name on their arm. All right, that tattoo. So, you know, he's going out with Jolene. So he puts Jolene on his arm. And who knows that because they go through, they're not good at keeping relationships. So at the end of the day, he's going to have a lot of names on one arm, or he's going to have to go to somewhere to rub them off. And you've got to consider the context of that. You know, like wisdom would shout, maybe you shouldn't put the name on yet. You know, you're not married. You haven't been going out more than 2 days, you know. I remember a couple of years back, our Australian cricket captain, Michael Clarke, was in a relationship with a girl called Lara Bingle, and it was a big thing at the time. Anyway, who knows? He did that tattoo thing, so he didn't put a name, he put her initials there on his arm, LB for Lara Bingle, so that was his thing. Who knows, that relationship didn't work out. So now he's got a situation on his arm, hasn't he? He's got her initials, LB. And I was listening to somebody say, what do you think he should do about that? And this guy said, I think he should put a W next to it. And it'd be LBW, you know, leg before wicket, and or you know, out. And but see, lack of wisdom. It's wisdom deals with your unforeseen enemies in the future. Wisdom deals with your unforeseen enemies. So many of the times we can blame the devil for doing stuff and we're going through stuff, but often it's not the devil. It was back then, and it was a lack of wisdom making wrong decisions. So wisdom deals. It starts to pull down and dismantle the unforeseen enemies of your future. Use wisdom. Story of a chicken farmer in Gympie. You think we get flooded. Gympie gets flooded every year. And this guy's got a chicken farm, and every year his chickens would drown in the flood. So he's in a predicament. He's not making any money because all his chickens keep dying, and he can't sell the farm because no one wants to buy a farm where the chickens keep dying. So he's in a lot of trouble. He's in the kitchen. Oh, what am I going to do? His wife's making him a cup of tea, and she says, look, I've been telling you this for years, and I really don't think you should take heed of this. And he says, what do you mean? He says, you know what? She says, what? Instead of farming chickens, why don't we farm ducks? Because ducks can swim. See, wisdom is looking at from different options. And I want to tell you, if you want to keep the blessing of God be alive in your life, then make sure we're using wisdom. Please consider before you make the decision. Number two, if you want to live a life of order and blessing, be diligent. Be diligent, work hard. It's not, oh, God will do it all. That's not true at all. God doesn't do it all. He allows his part to be done as long as we do our part. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Love this scripture. Love the language in it. Proverbs 6, verse 6. And it goes like this. Okay, you want to know about diligence? This is what he's saying. You want to know about, it says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no captain, no leader, no overseer, no ruler, provides her supplies in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? Will you rise from your sleep? Listen, if you want to be successful in life, you have to get up before the crack of noon. I want to tell you that right now. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And if you live like this, so shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler, and a man, and your need like an armed man. God, to keep blessing flowing, we've got to be in a place where we're doing the things God's called us to do. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. It says this, 10 verses 4 and 5, it says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent will be made rich. And then Proverbs 13, chapter 4, says this. The soul of a lazy man desires, wants it all, but has nothing. But the soul of the diligent will be made rich. So if we want to outwork the blessing of God and keep the blessing flowing, it's so much about being consistent and persistent in life. Success is the result of doing right things for a long period of time, not just once. It's not just a magic lamp thing, you know. No. Success and prosperity and blessing comes from doing the right things for a long period of time. There's no such thing as an overnight success. There's a lot of hidden work that takes place before the victory becomes apparent. I believe diligence, the greatest example of diligence I know was both snails getting to the ark on time. That's diligent. That's persistent and consistent. Galatians chapter 6, 9 says, don't grow weary in doing good. Stay at it. For in due season, you shall reap if you do not lose heart. And if we want to see great stewardship over the blessing God has for us, work hard, be diligent and consistent. Point three this morning, keep learning. Don't be a know-it-all. Be an ask-it-all. In other words, keep a spirit of learning about you. Realize what you know is important, but what you don't know is even more important. Look what Proverbs says in chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. It says, they are all plain to him who understands, and the right to use who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. That's how important knowledge is. Don't be a novice. Learn something. Get good at what you do. If you're going to be stuck with money for the rest of your life, learn how to use the thing. If you're going to deal with people for the end of your days, then get good at learning to deal with people. Don't be a novice. Blessing comes when we keep learning. Man, be open to new information, to correction. Listen, what Australians do really badly is they connect correction with rejection. So if somebody corrects us, we have this response of they must hate me, or they don't like me. I remember when I got here and Andy Goulet had the biggest mullet I'd ever seen. I mean, I love mullets. Don't get me wrong, but the days of the mullets are over, and they will probably never come back. And I remember going with my last passport photo had me with a mullet on it, and I remember getting to the passport place, and they looked at my mullet, and they looked at me now, and they said, your children have had their way, haven't they? And I had to sit down with Andy and say, hey, Andy, the mullet's got to go. He was so upset, but I wasn't trying to reject him, I was trying to take him into his future. And therefore, we've got to be open to correction. And the Bible speaks really plainly on this, that we need people speaking into our lives. That's why you don't want to be a know-it-all, you want to be an ask-it-all. Keep asking things, keep learning things, keep being around people that can help you do what you need to do. If your finances aren't going well, find somebody who's good at it. If your marriage is not doing well, then find somebody who knows what they're talking about. Be a learner. Oh, I'm really poor, but I'm proud. No, don't be proud about failure. Find somebody to help you move into your future. That's the plans of God, all right? The reason we don't have often is we don't ask the right questions, or we're not asking any questions, or we're not talking to the right people, or we're not talking to anybody. If you want to keep the blessing of God flowing, keep learning, keep growing in your soul and your spirit, and then you're able to do more with the knowledge that you find. Number four, be a planner. Be a plan, not a wisher, not a hoper, not, I hope one day I can do that. I wish one day, like I'd love to do, I wonder. No, be a planner. Planning is everything. Look, Proverbs 21 verse 5. I'm just flicking. Proverbs 21 verse 5. And the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. The plans of the, not the hope, not the wish, the plans of them. For those to everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. But the plans, there is no doubt we need to plan our world. Nothing happens without a plan. When I go to the States, Americans love Australians. They love our accent. They are fascinated by our world. They all think we live in the bush and have big knives on the side of us. And when I go there, as a matter of fact, I always play up the Australians. When I get there, I'm using Australiana. It's like, crikey. I mean, I never say, g'day, George. In America, I do. I always do it there. G'day. You're an Australian. True right, mate. And the reason I do that is because it gets me free food, free coffee, and it gets me around queues. He's an Australian. Come to the front. He's an Australian. Move out of the way. We had that we got lost in LA, my first time in the States. There was three of us, three white guys, and we got lost in LA. We end up in a really bad part of town, and we walked into this Hungry Jack's, what's it, Burger King over there? Which country am I in? Burger King. Over there, Burger King? Yeah. Hungry Jack's, Burger King, same thing. And we walk in there at like 11 o'clock at night. It is full of very poor African Americans in there, and we're the only three white guys. It's 11 o'clock at night. We walked in, the whole place went quiet. Just everybody stopped. You could see that you could see them going, what are you doing here? I mean, it was just this, it was like this sense of tension. And then one of my friends says, g'day. And they said, you Australians? Yeah. They were our best friends. We didn't pay for a cent. They paid for all the food. We had drank there. As a matter of fact, they said, look, this is a really tough part of town. And they walked us back to our cars so we'd be safe. You know, look, And but when I get that, I'm saying is, when they say, oh, you're Australian, they, you know what people say? Oh man, I'd love to go to Australia. You can see their eyes light. They're thinking, you know, crocodiles and, you know, oh, just Australia. And my response is always, why don't you? Oh, that's a good question. And then they try to consider, I can't afford it. And I said, well, you can afford it. I don't know what your wage is, but if you put some money away for the next 2 years, you'll get there. You see, it went from a dream to a plan. A dream doesn't get you there, a plan does. So we need to make sure we're planning. What are you planning for 2014? What are you planning for your marriage, for your family, for your business? What are you planning to do this year? Becky and Aaron are planning to move to America at the end of May to take over our Colorado church. That's their plan. And Leah's texting me already about she wants me to buy a house over there so we can be closer. That's planning. She heard my message, said, I've got a plan, hon. I said, what's that? And she said, I want to buy a house over there so we're close to the grandkids. It's planning. Planning. Be a planner. God is the ultimate planner. God is not a last-minute person. God planned when Jesus would come to the earth way before time even existed. He planned that moment in time where he didn't get up one day and go, gosh, it's a mess down there. What are we going to do? Who's available? Oh, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, you go. No, he planned that from the beginning of time. The Bible says that before you were born, he had plans for you. You might have been a mistake or a surprise to your parents, but you were never a surprise to God. He'd planned you. He'd put things in place. He had it on his agenda to plan. Be a planner. What are you planning for 2014? Fifth thing this morning, live a godly life. Proverbs 28 verse 13. And I'm not stopping till we go through the whole book of Proverbs, just so you know that. We're covering the Proverbs the whole day. And just kidding. Proverbs 28, 13, it says, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes will have mercy. There is no doubt that blessing comes from doing things God's way. And even though there is some sort of reward in doing it wrongly, there is a return in being dishonest for a season. Drug dealers for a while live quite a high lifestyle. I mean, people that are in crime, certainly at some level, live up. There's a result, a reward in doing that, but the end consequences are dire. There's a return in selling your soul to the devil. But I want to tell you, there is a bigger and better return of selling your soul to Jesus Christ and doing things his way and being honest in your dealings and doing the right things and doing it that way. There is a blessing of God that comes to people that do things God's way. And it's important that we see that it might be tempting to do it God's way. Trust him and seek his ways and he will bring the blessing to you. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and then all these things, all the things. So what is he saying? Seek God first, seek his ways, his righteousness, his kingdom, and all the things you need shall be added to you. They'll come your way. There's a blessing to doing things God's way. Even though it seems like it might, no, there's a blessing, seek first the kingdom. The whole concept of the gospel is about attracting things. We're not trying to chase the world down. We're trying to live like believers and they should be attracted to the kingdom that we belong to. Yeah. It's not about chasing money. It's about getting good at what you do and money's attracted to you. That's the plan of God. We're not chasers, we're attractors. And if we want the things we need, then it says seek first the kingdom of God and then all these things shall be added to you. Manage your spiritual life and it opens the doorways of blessing. The last thing this morning is be blessed to be a blessing. Proverbs 21 verse 17 says this, he who loves pleasure, listen, will be poor, will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. What this is alluding to is that self-indulgence costs you prosperity. It costs you. Once you lose generosity off your thing, where it all becomes about you, you lose the plan of God for your life. So when we're blessed and to be a blessing, we've got this sense of generosity flowing. We're trying to help somebody out. We're giving to kingdom purposes. We want to see people saved. It places you in a position that keeps you connected to the heart of God. You always want to keep your heart connected to His. And one of the ways you do that is through generosity. See, the devil steals. Our general nature, man's nature, is to hoard. We want to just make sure we've got our thing. You know, I remember in living in the States, it was 1999. The end of the world was going to be the year 2000. Remember that? All the computers were going to crash. And man, we were ready. And in America, you could buy survival packs. All right? You could buy them. They're like $600. And it had dehydrated water, just add water, dehydrated food. And this pack that was supposed to last you for 6 months, it was this big, and your family, man, if it all falls down, it goes crazy, you know, you got your pack, it's all good, you're gonna be okay. But you know what they included for that $600? It was a pistol, a gun. Because you didn't want to share it with anybody. And now you had a gun. So part of the pack was all about me. Get away, you're not gonna get in, you know. And there's that sense of man's nature is to hoard. It's to look after just me, but God's nature is to give. And the more we keep the flow of generosity happening, the more we keep connected to the heart of God. As a matter of fact, the plan of God is that our human nature should decrease while the nature of God in our lives should increase. And that comes through giving. Our giving keeps us connected to the heart of God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says this. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. Why? So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. The first scripture we read said if you're into, man, oil and wine and just the whole thing, it's not good. But here's God saying, if you keep generosity going, you'll see the prosperity and the blessing of God come around your life. So today, God wants the very best for your life. And we can either manage crisis or try to, or we can live life on purpose and start to manage the blessing that God has for us today. Pay attention, manage, be stewards of the things that God gives you, and the blessing won't just come, it will stay and multiply in Jesus' name. Would you close your eyes, bow your heads this morning? Lord, I thank you right now for who you are and what you're doing. God, I believe this morning that you would touch people's hearts and stir them again into the power of what you have for them, greatness at every level. And I thank you that we've come and we've heard your word. And God, I know that not everybody here this morning knows you. Not everybody's a follower of you. But I know that your heart is towards every one of us. You don't care what we've done or how bad or good we've been. You love us all just the same. And the desire of your heart is to be in our world so you can bring the best for us. And you said you'd forgive us of our sins if we believe that Jesus died and rose again for you. Man, you said you'd make us sons and daughters, you'd adopt us into your family. You said you'd never leave us, you'd never leave us nor forsake us. You'd give us eternity to be with you. And really, Lord, you are our answer. You are our need. You're our healer, our way forward for every human being. And right here this morning, you might have come not being a follower of Jesus, but this could be the moment that changes not just some of your life, but all of your life. If you make a decision here this morning to respond and say, you know what, I believe this morning, I accept Jesus as my Lord, then your world will start to change in a very powerful way. See, it's a spirit-to-spirit connection. And if you let God in, He's able to do what He promises He will do. Just let Him in. And maybe today, you've been at church, you grew up in church a little bit, but life's taken you on a different journey. But here you are today in the house, hearing what God's saying, not just what I'm saying, but sensing something of God. You can make a decision to recommit your life, reconnect with the Savior this morning, and He'll just love you just as much as He always has.